Mark.
That's an hour later. Let's turn to Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. Powerful foundational prophecy in the book of Daniel. About the 70 weeks, we saw that the spiritual significance of this was pointing to the ultimate restoration of the world. The fulfillment of those wonderful prophetic pictures in the Old Testament, the seven-year Sabbaths, the years of Jubilee, all of it pointing to a restoration of the land that God is going to restore, that God is going to claim for His own and bring back after the sin of the Garden of Eden. And so as we look towards Daniel chapter 9, we looked last time at the significance of what God was going to accomplish. And I think you can take all six of those phrases and see them in light of Jesus Christ's second coming. And I think that is the best interpretation. So now we're going to look at verses 25 through 27 with the time we have remaining and try to look at this part here. So let's read verses 25 through 27, then we'll kind of pick up on the key phrases. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, a lot there, a lot to unpack. Powerful as prophecy is, it kind of gives you some indications of things, but there's a lot to those words are very dense. And so in terms of highly compact, a lot of truth to be unpacked. As we kind of begin here, let's get in our minds organized that we're not breaking this down. This is not some sort of system that we're trying to impose upon the text. The text relays to us 3 different time sequences. It says 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then 1 week. So you have 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 1 week. And so as it's clearly laid out, why do this? What's the purpose? But God's saying, okay, if there's a start and a stop of 7 weeks, then 62 weeks, then 1 week, that means that there has to be events that take place at the beginning and the middle of those events. Does that make sense? So if you're going to divide them, if you're going to divide a piece of pie, you know where the knife has to go? Right where you're dividing. Does that make sense? God's going to act at those dividing points. So it's part of the importance of saying, what is going to trigger these things? What's going to cause the end of the 7 weeks to end and the beginning of the 62 weeks? And what's going to be at the end of the 62 weeks? And what starts the last week? And why would you have 7 and then 62 and then one last one at the end? There's an aspect by taking it down and then dividing that 1 week into 2 parts in the middle of the week. There's something highly significant about that final week in time. And so all of this is kind of, it's just, we haven't really gone into the interpretation of it, but just the setting forth of it, you already understand certain things that we should be looking for. All right, so as we begin to look at it, we see when's the beginning of this time going to start. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62. So it's going to be 69 total weeks between 7 year periods. So between the command to build and the coming of the Messiah. So those are pretty significant events. The command to build is in specific answer to the prayer of Daniel. Is it not? Daniel was praying, God, would you please restore your city, restore your people? It's interesting, God's answer to his prayer is the beginning of that time. He's going to do a whole lot more than Daniel prayed. But the answer to his prayer is the beginning point. Now what we have to go to and say, okay, as we're looking towards a fulfillment of these things in time, I say, we know that they were fulfilled. God's word is always fulfilled. But you and I, trying to look back at history, trying to say, how does this fit? We have some interpretive options in terms of what did God mean when he said these. And part of that revolves around the aspect that we are not entirely sure, historically speaking, when to date Jesus' death on the calendar that we have in terms of historical, relating to the events of other things. We have certain, we've got it down to a couple years, and we know when he died, when he lived. I'm not trying to throw anything up in the air necessarily, but the point is we don't know exactly with specificity. And there's the aspect of, interestingly enough, we have two different calendar years. You have what we use as a 365-day year going off the sun. But that was not the calendar year that the Jews used. They had 12 months that went off of the lunar calendar. And so they had, their year was 360 days. Now that would throw them off of you get to the place where your seasons would gradually start to shift. And what would happen is once it got to the barley harvest in the spring, if the barley wasn't even close to being harvested, and it was the barley harvest month, they would add an extra month and say, all right, this is the year, we add an extra 30 days. They'd have a month, and then it would get them back on track. So about every six, they would lose 5 days every year, according to the solar calendar. About every 6 years, they'd add an extra month, and boom, they'd be back on track. And it was just part of the agricultural aspect of it, kept them in sequence with those years. So what exactly did God's prophecy mean when he talks about years? I personally believe that he was using lunar years because the seven-year period is actually divided up into 42 months, directly right in half of what we would call exactly 3.5 years on a lunar calendar. So all the other aspects and the days themselves, the days match 42 months, are all 30-day month sequences. And so the prophecies of Revelation that correspond with Daniel seem to indicate that he's using lunar years. So that being the case, I believe that the command going forth here in Daniel chapter 9 is when Artaxerxes commissions Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 2 to go and build the wall. Now they'd already gone and built the city. And that's where some people would say, wait a second, maybe it's Artaxerxes giving the command to Ezra to go back. I mean, and that he was supposed to build the temple. And in building the temple, maybe there's an aspect of building the city as well. So there's an aspect which in 458, if that's the time when he talked to Ezra, then in 409, the city, that's 49 years later, seven-year periods, there would have been a fully functioning city. We know that Nehemiah went back in 445 to build the wall and that command, which would have basically meant that they would have had a completed city in 397. And I think that's what's going on here with the end of these words. It says, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And so here it's pointing to, this is the, if you're saying, what's the dividing part between the 49 years and then the 62 weeks that follow after that, the 7 weeks, 62 weeks, what's that dividing part? The part right here is the end of verse 25. That's what happens and divides it. It's still a successive period of time, but he's saying, he's wanting to give them hope. It's not going to take too long. Within 50 years, a year cycle of a year of jubilee, from the command to go build it, everything's going to be complete and it's going to be restored. And so some of the terminology that's used in the street and the wall are actually words that are not used very, they're not common words in the Old Testament Hebrew. And there's some debate over what exactly they're referring to, but they seem to refer to things, the street, meaning like the marketplace, they're kind of completion type events that you would have in a fully operational type city. The wall kind of has the aspect of a moat, aspect of something defensed, well-defensed aspect. So all of that being said, so we understand the command goes out. The command, I think, is to Nehemiah. 49 years later, the city is fully and completely functioning again in fulfillment of Daniel's prayers. All right, but then what happens after the 62 weeks? This is the sequence. He goes 49 years, then I'm using all kinds of different numbers. 7 weeks. The 8th week starts right in succession after the 79 weeks, and 62 weeks now begins. The clock starts on that. That goes through the time frame of the Greek Empire. And it started in the Persian, into the Greeks, then into the Romans. And it says, after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off. And so 483 years from 445 BC would be AD 32. And so you've got, that would put towards a late date in terms of the crucifixion, which we don't know exactly how long Jesus' ministry was exactly. We don't have specific dates on all those things. So there's flexibility in terms of those things. But what's kind of fascinating is God is operating on a timetable. We're talking about a time of almost 500 years that God predicts the exact time of the Messiah being cut off. And there's one that even parses it out from the day and works it all the way out to the day of Jesus' triumphal entry, presenting himself to the cross. And I don't know if we have that historical certainty necessarily to be able to make that kind of assertion, but I wouldn't be surprised when we get to heaven, we're going to go, God, down to the very day. He's got a stopwatch. He's got a timer, and it's ticking, and it's going to happen exactly as he says. We looked at it on Wednesday night a few weeks ago that God says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And so God is fulfilling these things specifically. So, good news for Daniel. Messiah is coming. City's going to be rebuilt. After the 62, so we got 69 weeks complete, Messiah is cut off. Huh? The anointed one, the king, who's supposed to come and be the restoration for God's people, he's cut off, but not for himself. This seems to point to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He died not because he should die, but because he was the substitute for others. And so we see a glimmer, a shining point here, a diamond of the substitutionary atonement of the purpose of Jesus Christ to come. The next part here begins to go, and it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. People want to know, what is the prince? Messiah was just called the prince in verse 25. Some interpret this as saying, aha, the people of the prince must be the Jews of the Messiah, because Jesus Christ is the prince. He's the one who's going to come, and they actually see all of these events. They think the 1 week following the 69 weeks starts with the end of the 62 week. But there's all kinds of problems, because what they see is the middle of that last and final week is the 3.5 year ministry of Jesus. And he's cut off right at the midway point. Of course, they don't have anything to do with the next 3.5. They don't have an ending point. There's a lot of problems with that. But I want to just make you aware that some people don't see a big gap here. But if you look at the verb, the people shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now that doesn't sound like a positive thing. That doesn't sound like the people of the prince of the Messiah. And in fact, in later revelations that are about ready to come in chapter 11, the prince is actually referred to, who is called the one who is coming, is the Antichrist. And so the people of the Antichrist, they come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who fulfilled that? The Romans. 70 AD. They came in. Of course, Titus had instructions. Don't destroy that temple. It is so beautiful, so full of gold. Herod made this thing so he just kept on expanding, and we're not going to destroy it. But when they were going through and they were looting, it caught fire and they destroyed it, whether it was intentional or not. It may have well been. They were so upset at how long the Jewish people had held out from them. It was an awful time. So the prophecy is fulfilled. What happened between Jesus' death and if you know the time frame here, Jesus died in around 30 AD, 32 AD, if our timing is right here. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. You have a gap of 40 years. He just said, after the 62 weeks, this is what's going to happen. Two things, Messiah's cut off and the destruction of the temple. That alone itself lets us know that there's a time gap between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. It didn't happen succession. The 7 weeks and the 62 weeks, they happened boom, boom, but not the last week. Several things had to occur before that happened. And he said, it just talks about how the end thereof shall be with a flood, and desolations are determined. You read about what happened at the storming of Jerusalem and the desolations there. You'll see that was fulfilled perfectly, exactly what God said, the coming destruction. That word desolation there is the very same word that's used for the abomination of desolation. And it's connecting together the destruction of Jerusalem with the coming abomination of desolation with the Antichrist. And Jesus Christ himself makes that connection in Mark chapter 13 on the Olivet Discourse. When he talks about how it's just interesting. They ask him about, you said that the temple is going to be destroyed. He says, I'll answer that question about the destruction of the temple. And then he begins to start talking about the abomination of desolation in that. And he's talking about the end in time. So Daniel really sets the stage for understanding all of Jesus' words. So we have a time gap. It's not really here that God tells us why, but it's consistent with all the other prophecies we've seen. Daniel chapter 2, four kingdoms, and then he starts talking about one little horn. We talked about a stone, that comes out and destroys. And that stone never came and destroyed and burned up those things, and so we're still waiting for the stone to come. He talks about the four beasts, and then the little horn, and the ten horns that rise out, and God destroying them. That never took place. And so there's an aspect to which in each one of these visions, we keep seeing historical, historical, historical future. And the same is true here in this one as well. Verse 27 is entirely future for us. And he shall confirm, that's talking about he, the prince that was mentioned in verse 26, the Antichrist, shall confirm, not make or create. That word seems to have an idea of it, confirm an existing covenant with many for 1 week. Many times it's interesting that is often talked about being a covenant with Israel, but here it seems to be an indication that it is broader than that. It may be a global contract. It may be something on a large scale. It's no doubt would incorporate Israel. And so this is the only place where we actually have the outlining specifically of how long this God's dealing with the nation of Israel. And that is 1 week, 1 7-year period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So they will be offering temple sacrifices. This cannot happen tomorrow, because they have to be offering sacrifices for the Antichrist to come in and stop the sacrifices and to commit an abomination. There has to be a temple. And yet the Jewish people have prepared, they have plans, they have everything, all the garments for the priest already made. They have the utensils for this next temple already made. They've already located a red heifer by which the blood would be slaughtered and slain, and that would sanctify the temple when it's built. They're ready to go. They're just waiting for an agreement that would allow them to build. Interesting. And it says, what's going to happen? It says, the overspreading of abomination. We don't know what that means, but probably the aspect of some idolatrous act in the Holy of Holies. We know that Thessalonians mentions that he will claim to be God in the Holy of Holies. So there's some aspect, I think we don't know exactly how detailed this part is right here. An overspreading, a wing of abomination is quite literally what it's talking about. But when it actually happens, we'll understand exactly how that identifies the Antichrist. And he shall make desolate until the consummation. He is going to go on a 3.5-year rampage to destroy the Jewish people and the people, according to Revelation, who believe in the Son. But then it says, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That aspect there, this word, I believe, is referring to the Antichrist himself. What God has determined will be poured out upon this person, the desolate one, that he is going to be made desolate in the end. And so there's, in all of this, we see this is the working, this is the planning. You don't really get to see a whole lot. God doesn't even, he doesn't, I want to say this, he's not specifically mentioned in all this. But it just keeps mentioning passive verbs. Was determined. Active has a subject. God determines. Passive doesn't say the subject. It says was determined. That makes sense? And so by using that, it's God's pointing out the fact, I'm in control of everything that's happening. And I am going to do exactly what I have determined will be done. And so God's pointing to this aspect that he's going to fulfill all of this. And so in the end, the Antichrist will have his day. God will control the actions of evil men. He will pour out his wrath upon them. The Antichrist in the end will be taken and cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 19. And Israel will repent of their sins, will be forgiven, and be restored. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ will come upon the earth at the end of that week. And everything will be restored in answer to Daniel's prayer. And may we be in prayer, because God wants to answer our prayer. If we'll get in line with Daniel, we'll get in line with the will of God, God's going to use us to see his will done on this earth as it is in heaven. And God bless us. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the power of your word, the hope that it gives, the testimony to your sovereignty. Lord, even it lets us know that even in difficult times, you're still in control. And they are part of your plan to bring us to the ultimate end and goal. But Lord, may we not be focused upon the transition. Lord, may we be focusing upon the end result that you are going to accomplish. And Lord, we look forward to that glorious city of which we will be a part, ruling and reigning with you for 1,000 years and then for eternity. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you. playing this morning? Okay. We don't really. We need to go because it's past time. Yeah, that's a good idea. I appreciate that because I don't know.